Three great words. Free Fries Friday. Especially when they're used in that exact order. Get a free medium fries with $1 minimum purchase.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Valid one time on Fridays at participating McDonald's through 12/31/24. Excludes tax, must opt into rewards.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, ESPN 2, the ESPN app, one app, one tap.
Morning, good morning.
Play ESPN. We pop up on your smart speakers like this. I'm snapping right. Snap like that. We pop right up. You can hear us where else? You can download the podcast. You can open your window. We'll shout.
Or we'll beep.
Yeah.
At you.
Yeah, honk, yeah. You honk instead of flash your lights, Jay. I don't know. I think it's you got to start with the. Yes, you can honk, but you start with the light flash. Anyway, listen. If you are able, please join us today in supporting the V Foundation for Cancer Research. 100% of your donation goes to cancer research. Go to v.org/donate now. So, yeah, you were on the way to work and a guy going slow in the fast lane and you honked at him right away.
Oh, well, I pulled up behind him. I was courteous. I was in a relaxing mood this morning at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, relaxing. Mm-hmm. So I pull up behind him, and he's, you know, I'm like, all right, this guy's eventually going to get it. He sees me up on him. Obviously, there are other people behind me. And then I see, you know, one car go by me in the middle lane, go by him, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finally like, come on, man.
It was come 8 on. Before he just added a car, but go ahead.
Well, the story's only going to get better, Max. Each hour we talk
about
it.
By the end, it's going to be 20 cars.
20 cars are flying by. So I laid on my horn a little bit. It was like, boop, the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, second time. It was like, it was a little bit more aggressive the third. And then he still didn't get out of the way. So then I go on the middle lane, go by him, speed in front of him. Now I'm going like 65, 70. He's behind me looking at him in the rear
view. See, my beef with you is you're going 65 in the passing lane. It's too slow.
I was fine. Nobody was passing me. I wasn't the one being beeped at over here. And then out of nowhere, this dude, the same guy I just passed, the same guy just waited behind for like 5 minutes, then speeds by me going 75, 80, cuts me off, and then starts going 55 miles an hour again, Max.
He's a jerk. Why don't you get out of the lane and just pass him?
Because, what am I going to keep going back and forth? My exit was coming up anyway. But it was just like, well, am I going to go back and forth? And I started getting angry. I found myself cursing this morning very early. Not a good way to start your day.
Every time I get in the car, I start cursing.
You're just an angry driver.
As a matter of fact, let me tell you a story. So my middle child, Sammy, she was in preschool in L.A., and they have these plastic cars you can get in and play, right? And she's in the car, and this is how she thinks you play driving. She's in the car, and she's going, and you know, she's like two, so she, what is this person doing? She thought that's what driving was. You go like this, and she
what
she,
are you doing?
You never seen something so cute as my two-year-old, like, what is this person doing?
So you're a screamer when you drive.
No, I just get, everything annoys me, you know?
Yeah.
Here's the problem with me. I'm not patient.
Shocking.
Yeah. Not New York, you know, you grew up in New York, you're not patient. Everyone, go.
New York is like where you turn down a one way and there's traffic. You're like, I'll find a different way. You know what? I'll just go, if I'm on the west side, I'll go all the way to the east side to come back. Just go up.
Right, because if you get there at the same time, but you're moving, at least it feels better. Everyone, that's the age old saying, right. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. So we were talking in the last hour, Jay. It's weird. When you do a four-hour radio show, on the one hand, you kind of reset every hour because people are just tuning in, right? On the other hand, you also got to kind of pick it up where you left off.
Hmm.
We were talking in the last hour about who's more vital to the Lakers' success this season, LeBron James or AD. And Perk said yesterday on my show, This Just In the afternoons on ESPN, 2 p.m. Eastern, tremendous show. Perk said, you know, AD. Let LeBron... He needs to lay back a little, average 25, and you know, feed AD. My point was not just that AD is not reliable, not because of anything he's doing, just his body breaks down, but also this has been LeBron's case his whole career, Jay. LeBron is so good, he's so talented, and he's such a basketball genius that he understands actually the best chance to score a lot of the time is him. He is a pass-first mentality guy. He's Magic Johnson meets Michael Jordan. But he's really more Magic, I think, than Michael in terms of his temperament distributing the ball. He's really a point guard. But he also recognizes, oh, wait a minute, I can also score with ease, right? So I don't know if it's possible to run the offense through AD with LeBron on the team because of that.
Let me ask you this, Max, because I feel like we talk about the Lakers enough daily about what moves they need to make and what's going on with Kyrie
Irving.
They're
never talking enough about the Lakers.
And then Buddy Hield, and could it be Buddy Hield? Or how about Eric Gordon, the pieces? Let me just bring it back to LeBron
James. I like Buddy
Hield
in that case.
I love Buddy Hield in that case. LeBron James, the best player in basketball?
Look, if I was starting a team just for this season, and I have to begin with a player and build around him, and the idea is to win a championship, I will go with LeBron. If you force me, I can't prove it anymore. I used to be able to prove it easily. I can't prove it anymore. But you can make a hell of an argument for other guys. Like when LeBron went up against Giannis, he didn't want it. He did not want that smoke with Giannis, and Giannis was physically dominant. I get it. But to win a championship, I'm still taking LeBron. Yeah.
So, I mean, look, I get it that he got injured this season towards the back end when they weren't making the playoffs and they're trying to make that push for the 8th seed. I get that. But the numbers kind of speak for themselves, man. I mean, the guy single-handedly, like not even knowing what Russ being a shell of himself with AD not playing half the season, kept him in contention. Now, when he was in his heyday, the prime, I think that would have been enough to get them into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not act like LeBron James wasn't in the damn MVP conversation. To me, as
LeBron averaged 38-6.
That's what I'm saying.
Hold on. On 36% from three. And what did he shoot from the line last year? 76% from the line. 36% from three. 38-6 playing 37 minutes a game. The problem was he only got into 56 games.
Exactly. Well, because of the injury and also the age, right? So with me right now, this season, I think that Giannis is the best player, the most dominant player in basketball.
Easily make that argument.
That's how I feel. I think probably Steph Curry right now is the second best player in basketball.
For the first time in Steph Curry's career. Don't tell me about unanimous MVPs. I mean when they're done playing basketball. Done playing basketball at that season, meaning the end of the finals. For the first time in Steph's career, he has a legitimate case that he is the best player in the world. He does. He has a case.
And then I got to tell you, like I know Kevin Durant, what he has skill-wise in basketball, but like I find myself kind of giving LeBron James the edge over KD. And I'm not saying that comes to complete skill set scoring, but the nuances, like the leadership, the mentality.
Who you would take on your team to start?
I would take LeBron.
Right.
I would take LeBron probably third.
Giannis 1,
Giannis, Steph LeBron.
2, LeBron 3, KD 4. Who's 5?
I have Joel Embiid 5.
That's a very, very good list. I can't argue. I would probably have.
Or, you know, some people might have Jokic right there because, you know, two-time, you know, MVP. But I would give it to Joel Embiid. I think he.
Better defender. Better defender.
Better defender.
I want to rewind for a second. Let's go back here. What I said about Steph, you have him 2. I can't argue that. Like, I might not have him 2, but if someone has him 1 even, I can't argue that after what I just saw. A lot of Steph's value is wrapped up in the culture he creates because it's a team game.
But also the movement he creates on the floor.
Absolutely. The way he moves without the ball.
He draws so much attention. And he expands the defense outside the lane, which opens up the lane for other opportunities.
Before anyone knew what was going on and started adjusting, Draymond Green hit 38% from 3-1 year because he had all month to shoot the ball, right?
There you go.
And that's Steph Curry. So I can't argue that, but I want to talk about how significant that accomplishment is. He is under 6'3", right? In the history of modern basketball, there has never been a player under 6'4", ever, who you could say, that's the best player in the world. Even when AI won that game against the Lakers, no one considered him the number one player in the world. When Steve Nash won MVP, no one considered him the number one player in the world. No one. Not a single person said he's the best player in basketball.
Zeke couldn't. I mean,
Zeke, Isaiah Thomas was amazing.
Before Michael Jordan, because they beat up Michael Jordan earlier in those years.
But even then, Magic was better than Zeke.
I hear you.
Bird, before he got hurt, was better. Isaiah Thomas was like the third best. He was incredible, but that's really the competition.
In a short stint in which Isaiah was maybe the best player in basketball?
I don't think so, dude. I don't think he was ever considered. I lived through that era. I don't remember people ever saying, I mean, I was a little kid. I used to argue Isaiah against Bird with my dad because I just hated Bird because I hated the Celtics. But he was really never thought of that way. Steph Curry is so amazing that even at his size, he may be right now the best player on earth. Never happened before. So people like to give him credit. Mark Spears was on my show yesterday on This Just In and like to give him credit in the GOAT conversation for doing that, as though it's a pound-for-pound conversation. My problem with that is this, Jay. As much as he deserves, Steph deserves our awe for being able to achieve that, there is no pound-for-pound in basketball. Basketball selects out for height. That's why it's so impressive what he's doing. But when I'm measuring a greatness of a player, I don't give him extra credit for being so incredible that he can do it at a certain height. So yeah, I don't see how Steph, who Perks said maybe one day could be in the GOAT conversation, I think Steph at best will be a fringy top 10 GOAT conversation. But I don't ever see him entering the GOAT conversation. What about you?
I just feel like I've taken on this new frame of mind that I'm going to have multiple GOATs. Multiple.
That is such a cop-out.
It's not a cop-out.
Cop-out.
It's not a cop-out. You're going to tell me when it's all said and done, LeBron James is not one of the greatest of all time.
Of
the game of basketball.
One of them, but he's
seen.
Under Michael Jordan, who's demonstrably better.
All right, so Michael Jordan is one of the greatest of all time.
Yes, he is one You're of them,
tell
but he's
me
also
one
the
time
greatest.
That Stephen Curry, a guy that's changed the landscape of how we play basketball. Max Kellerman, I've seen you shoot a damn ball.
Yes.
Do you know how special it is what Stephen Curry
is even
been
better
able
than me?
To do?
Is he even
he's
better
going
than me?
To be a GOAT. There are multiple GOATs.
No, there it's aren't.
No, this whole conversation about there can only be one is just stupid and it's lame. It's lame. It's something that media does, but from a specialist like myself, I will look at a certain altitude of players and be like, yo, there are
if
like
there
Kareem
was a draft,
Abdul-Jabbar is one of the GOATs of the game.
If there was a draft and you got to take one guy, you have a decision to make. That's who you think the GOAT is.
Okay. So you can have one from your age. Somebody else can have another from their age. For me, I have multiple.
When it's all said and done, here's the question. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Will Steph Curry be in the GOAT conversation? Are two-a-days roll along with the Steelers? Which quarterback has the best shot of landing the starting job in Pittsburgh?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. This is ESPN Radio's NFL Two-A-Days, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
With the 20th pick, the Pittsburgh Steelers select Kenny Pickett, quarterback, Pittsburgh.
They have familiarity with him. They see him every single day walking in the building. They had the advantage when they did the research and scouting because he's right there.
The Steelers believe Trubisky has looked as advertised so far. Now, I was also reminded that, look, the Steelers didn't draft Kenny Pickett to sit him forever. And I'm told Mike Tomlin is playing no favorites throughout this process.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN 2. And we are joined now by the voice you just heard. Hey. Who told you Mike Tomlin is playing no favorites in this quarterback competition between draft pick Kenny Pickett and newly acquired
Mitchell Trubisky.
Mitch Trubisky. Yeah. And that Mitchell. Is Jeremy Mitch. Fowler. Mitchell. 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 Mitchell Trubisky.
Yes, not Mitch.
That's right. I remember that from when he was in Chicago.
Mitchell.
Mitchell.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Jeremy Fowler, who does not want you to call him Jer. Right, just Jeremy, the whole thing. You can't call him Jer Fowler.
You really did that off Mitch.
Jeremy.
You did
that
Jeremy
off Mitch.
Fowler. Jeremy is biblical. What's going on, Jeremy?
How you doing, guys?
Feels like
the season.
No, it's time.
What's up?
It's time.
It's time.
See, because Jeremy has been deflecting. Every time we've had him on remote, mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, you got to come on, drop bars.
Oh.
And what he said to me
last
time.
He said he got eight loaded at all times.
I only do that when I'm in studio.
Eight loaded at all times.
Now we are here. And I have a memory like an elephant. So I am waiting, Jeremy, for you to drop us some bars. Yates, give this man a beat.
I know he likes
this. What beat
this
is
one.
This? Hold on. Hey. Am I really going to do this?
I know he likes this one.
All right. Yes. We're on KJM. You know I play above the rim. Jay Will, pass me the rock. Seaport is the spot.
Okay.
Yes. All right. I'm going to stop right there. I'm literally going to stop right there.
We'll leave it at that. You know what?
Looks like you should be in a barbershop quartet and drop bars.
I'm going to stop
you
right there.
Jeremy, I really appreciate you because you took a chance and you went for it.
Yeah.
And that's all a brother can ask.
And didn't embarrass
himself.
You are
my new favorite dude. Yep.
I could have kept
you.
Going, but I'm going to stop.
Didn't embarrass himself.
Let's lay out. That was good. That's good. Right. I like
just
that.
Just a layup line.
Yeah. Get some warm-ups. Go ahead, Max.
Man,
transition.
Dangerous to do on the radio live, too, because you want to curse when you freestyle.
That
a lot
was
of
an
it's...
interesting beat choice, though.
Yeah, he gave me the slow joint.
Yeah, he gave Yates hooked you up with that. He gave you a little time.
Yeah, a little time, a little Pusha T. I know that's your guy, so.
I was waiting on the other Pusha T beat, the one you always play at the beginning.
Oh. See, the fact that he can identify Pusha T beats.
Yeah.
Oh, this one?
Yeah.
See, you set yourself up with that
because
I knew he was going to give it to you
automatically. We're all done. All right. So it's time for two-a-days, and we're doing the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. Jeremy Fowler is ESPN's, of course, senior NFL reporter. You can follow him at Fowler ESPN. Which quarterback, Jeremy, has the best spot, if he's not picking favorites, has the best shot at landing the starting job in Pittsburgh?
So I said they weren't playing favorites. It's looking like if there is a favorite, it's Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, he's positioned himself well. He had a good spring.
Experienced.
The feeling mm-hmm. out of Pittsburgh is it's his job to lose. Kenny Pickett's going to play. Just depends on when. But this is a place in Pittsburgh where they feel like, okay, we have a system in place. We don't have to rush a guy out there. Mason Rudolph, the backup, probably knows the system better than anybody. He's been there for 4 years. So, like, it could be a situation where Pickett's stashed. And then when they feel like it's the right time, maybe that's week 8.
Wait, are you saying maybe he'd be third on the depth chart?
I don't know about that's a tough one. I could see it just because it depends on what they do with Mason Rudolph. Maybe they trade him, acquire an asset for him. But I could see him being number 3 just because they say, hey, like, it's not a
– Wait, you can trade Mason Rudolph for something?
I don't know. You maybe get a 6th or 7th round pick. Yeah,
really?
There's some value for a backup quarterback. Yeah. But, you know, Pickett, it wouldn't be necessarily about merit putting him third in the depth chart. It would just be – hey, let's wait this out and let's have a real pecking order with the rookie having to work his way up. But, you know, he might play week 8, might play week 12, might be week 1. I still think everything's on the table. It's just Trubisky clearly has positioned himself as the favorite right now going into camp.
Jeremy, I get where Pittsburgh is on the defensive side of the ball, but the offense still has a lot of questions for me.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, when you look at the AFC North, and just how low, I mean, Baltimore is going to get a lot of people back. Lamar Jackson is playing for a big-time contract. We talk about Cincinnati is special. We know how special Joe Burrow is. And Cleveland, depending upon the Deshaun Watson situation, like, realistically, what are expectations or what should they be for the Steelers this season? Mike Tomlin never finished below 500. You're saying they're going to be above 500?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because it's still about – if you take the quarterback out of it, we always overinflate the quarterback position, right? That's just going to result in 12 wins or losses. But the reality is – you have to have a good overall roster to make it happen. This is a good roster. Offensive line's the issue, right? If they can play respectable offensive line play up front for whoever's the quarterback, then I think they have a chance to be pretty good.
Let's stop
is going to be a top 5 to 7 defense again.
Let's stop right there on the offensive line, Jeremy, because as a Giants fan for 10 years, it's like, well, if they could just – and when you say that, you start to – warning signs, right?
Yes, but this is Pittsburgh. They get the benefit of the doubt a little bit.
Yeah, but what makes you think the offensive line can hold it down?
Well, I'm not saying that they're going to be like a top elite unit, but they've added a couple free agents, spent some money. I'm betting on them and their coaches and their kind of culture to get that right, at least be respectable. Like last year it was ugly, but they also had an offense with Ben Roethlisberger where he was aging, had to get rid of the ball really fast. They weren't really driving the ball deep downfield. If they can do a little bit of that, then that buys the offensive line some time because then the defense has to adjust to the run and the pass. And so I think they'll be less one-dimensional, which will help the offensive line. I mean, Najee Harris is ready for another 300 carries. You know, they always have receivers. For the last 10 years, they've had receivers. And the defense is going to be good. So I think that there's a formula there.
So you're saying that the offensive line holds up, they're pretty good. That's pretty good translate to making the playoffs?
I could see Pittsburgh making the playoffs. Everybody's writing them off. I still think it's a pretty good roster. Like, the quarterback play gives me pause a little bit. I still go back to, and maybe it's lip service, but like Mitchell Trubisky coming out of Buffalo was a great experience for him where he felt like, okay, he could sort of rediscover his gifts a little bit. Like, he is a talented athletic player.
Fast.
That got a bit lost in Chicago. He feels like he got some of his swagger back coming into this year.
It's interesting how like new information changed. We were just talking about this yesterday. Changes the way you perceive the past. Yep. Like if you see a fighter with who loses to another fighter, but then the guy he lost to goes on to beat a bunch of guys, it's like, all right, maybe it's not such a bad loss.
Right.
When you look back at Chicago, Trubisky took him to the playoffs. The team without him was garbage, and they had no offensive line in Chicago. When he left, it all fell apart. Like, oh, actually, he wasn't that bad. Right. He was kind of good there. And now Mike Tomlin also, I feel that way about. We all knew he was great. We all knew he was great. But we saw what happened when Belichick lost Brady and wound up with 7 wins.
Yeah.
Mike Tomlin's never been under 500. Like, really, when you talk about if the O-line could just – really, aren't you just talking about Mike Tomlin? Like, a Mike Tomlin coach team will compete no matter what? Isn't that what we're really saying?
Yes, and I'm not comparing Mike Tomlin to Bill Belichick, but it's a similar notion, right? We look at the Patriots. Mac Jones, young quarterback, growing, good player, but not flashy. He doesn't have the Josh Allen arm, but – and, you know, maybe they're a little old and slow in parts on defense, but it's a Bill Belichick coach team. They're going to be well-coached defense, running game. They'll be in every game, right? Mm-hmm. It's still the same feeling with Pittsburgh. Now, Trubisky has some limitations, to be sure. Like, there are only a handful of quarterbacks that you can say, and you can go into a game with and say, they're going to do anything we need to do. We can go deep. We can go short. You can run any offense possible. Like, Trubisky, you can't do everything with. But you give him a running game and a good defense, and he can get it done. So, there's a feeling there that, like, they always pull off a few games they shouldn't, especially in November, December, and I think we're going to see the same thing.
ESPN Football Insider Jeremy Fowler joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Jeremy, I'm curious. The Raiders camp starts today, and one of the questions that I've been asked by some of my boys is, did Devontae Adams make a mistake by leaving Aaron Rodgers for Derek Carr?
Well, his mistake is almost $30 million a year worth. Like, that, yeah, I'll take that mistake.
Yeah, I wish I made mistakes like that.
He was ready for a change. Like, he and Aaron Rodgers had a great relationship on the field, and I think they had a good working relationship off the field. I don't necessarily think it was this inseparable relationship where they just could never break up, right? Like, Devontae felt like, okay, maybe time expired a little bit here in Green Bay. I need a change. He likes living out in Vegas, went and bought a house there. He and Derek Carr remain close. Like, some people just want to change sometimes. So I wouldn't say it's a mistake. I think if you're looking at pure production and numbers, you know, it's hard to say that Devontae Adams, for as good as he is, and he's the best receiver in the game, like most people in the run league don't dispute that, it's going to be hard to replicate what he had, right? Derek Carr is very good, but he's not Aaron Rodgers. They had a special chemistry where, you know, Rodgers would just put it up, like, to a spot knowing Devontae is going to be there. It's hard to say they're going to do that
again. Well, that's chemistry. Let's stop right there, Jeremy. The chemistry thing is interesting because if you have a quarterback who's good enough and a receiver who's good enough, we might think they have chemistry just because they're both the best in the world at what they do.
Right.
But with Derek Carr, there is this idea. And yet, Adams and Rodgers developed chemistry because they played so long together. Okay. Now, he's going to his dude. So even though it's new, you would expect chemistry. Is there enough, to Jay's question, is there enough built in good vibes and chemistry with these two guys that it could offset some of the fact that Carr is not Rodgers?
Well, I would say I talked to somebody with the Raiders recently asking about that relationship, and they said, like, they were so on point at OTAs and minicamp that people were just wondering, well, they must have been working out together, like secretly. They must have been doing something in April or March and early April. Right. Like, that's how it looked. And so the question is, you know, how do you get Devontae his normal share of targets when you got Darren Waller, who's like a top three tight end? You got Hunter Renfro, who's always an easy target. Got a pretty good running game. So there's a lot of a lot of production to go around. Where in Green Bay, he was the guy and was going to get the ball first, second, third.
But he got his money, so it's not about his stats anymore. He wants to win and be happy, right? Like you would imagine.
Yeah,
you just got paid. That's why you want the numbers so you can get paid, and then you want to win.
I think that comes into play for a picture or for a player, especially when you get in year 7 and 8. You know, you have a different outlook.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, but that's what I said to my board the other day. I'm like, all right. So what a mistake mean? That means you think Aaron Rodgers is going to win a Super Bowl? Like you think he's because that to me that would mean you're making a mistake. Oh. If Aaron Rodgers then goes out and wins the Super Bowl, and you're looking at the AFC West being like, damn, we got to get through Kansas City. We got to get through Denver. We got to get through, you know, the Chargers, all these teams that are like, that's a hell of a division.
He went to a brutal division. Brutal division.
That's what makes it
brutal
tough.
This year. Like, yeah. Who knows? You know, that's he's going to be in Las Vegas for 4 or 5 years. So he's playing the long game.
Well,
here.
Patrick Mahomes and Justin, I say brutal going forward because those are quarterbacks.
Those guys aren't going
Mahomes
anywhere.
Mahomes
and
Herbert.
Russell Wilson's
Herbert.
Not going anywhere.
And Russell Wilson, it's they know, knock wood, no one gets, you know, seriously hurt or anything. But for the foreseeable future, you are swimming with sharks in that division.
It's going to be bad for a while. But I think the calculation is, hey, I can go to Las Vegas. I still have a good chance to win. Mm-hmm. Maybe not, you know, like the Green Bay positioning where you have a chance to win 12, 13 games every year. In the NFC, you're going to win the NFC North every year. A little different dynamic, but you'll take that over happiness, good weather, exactly.
good
teammates,
way, good
and a whole lot of money.
Exactly. Good weather's a big thing too, Jay. So, it's a big thing. Like you
it's
go
bigger
from,
than ever for players. Like it's you know no state tax in
no
Florida.
State income tax. There, I knew like, it was going to happen. Stuff. I knew we were going to hear it. Yeah, no state income tax.
Yeah, like that's a huge calculation.
It has to be. Are we up against it already?
That's what happens when Jeremy Fowler comes on and starts
dropping bars.
And bars. Spitting lyrics.
Look at this.
Spit. I don't spit anything.
You don't spit?
It's more just, that was off the top.
Who's
though.
The first? The top. Who was your, like, early on, like, who were your favorite rappers when you were a kid?
My favorite rappers?
The whole
kid.
Time, when I was alive as a kid, there was no such thing as rap at first, right? But so when growing up your whole life, you've known, like, hip-hop has been there. Your favorite rappers as a kid.
Yeah, but I liked all of them. I liked, you know, the normal picks, right? Biggie and Pac, all those guys.
Like,
all
right. That was kinda, all right. So, yeah, you're regular.
But I like,
fan.
You know, I was from Florida, so you had like, they called it booty music at the time. You know, you said like this, the music they play at like the club and the dance.
Let me find it at those clubs, Jeremy.
There's video
let
out there of Jeremy Fowler.
Club.
You know, like
with some Uncle Luke
like
playing.
Like Atlanta,
some Uncle
the,
Luke
yeah,
playing. Let me find out about you.
Yes, Uncle Luke.
Let me find out about you.
Uncle Luke.
An all-pro linebacker joins us next to discuss his daughter's courageous battle with a rare form of eye cancer here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks, guys.
Mario Davis, New Orleans Saints linebacker, is with us. His daughter, Carly Faith, was diagnosed with a rare eye cancer known as retinoblastoma. Mm. I mean, and nothing worse than hearing that your kid has something like this. Unbelievable. Lost her eye, but is now in remission. And that's great news, DeMario. Thanks for coming on with us. How's she doing right now?
Oh, man. First of all, thanks for having me on. She's doing phenomenal. She's doing phenomenal. She's been well on her way to a full bill of health for a little over a year now. No complications, no anything. It was very scary and very challenging time when she went through it, but she's healthy now, man. Fully healthy baby.
Demar, I can't even imagine, brother, going through something like you're going through. How was it for you and your family when you guys first found out about this news?
It's very tough. Nobody's prepared to hear the C word. Nobody. It shakes you to your core. You have so many different emotions when you find that out. But definitely my wife and I were just filled and covered with the grace of the Lord. He shifted our perspective immediately. My wife is who I was worried about, but I mean, she was a rock star during it. She never wavered in her faith. She wasn't distraught or anything. She was strong. And myself, God just really showed me how we were really blessed just to be able to have. We have 5 kids, and so he just made me look at things like how blessed we are to have kids in the first place, even when a lot of people don't have kids. He let me realize that we were able to take our baby home the same day that we found out the news when everybody doesn't have that situation. And she lost her eye, but she didn't lose her life. And so, I mean, we just shifted our perspective. I think our faith kind of kept us grounded through it all. So we're definitely blessed to be on the other side of it. And, you know, our baby is, she's the life of the household. And, I mean, she's a fully healthy baby. It was a season that we walked through. We were really fortunate, but everybody doesn't have that story. And so we're just grateful and blessed.
Is that your message to people? Like, what would it be going through the same thing that you are going through still now, or certainly when you got the initial news? What would your message be?
I think my mine would be just lean in on your faith and trust that whatever happens is meant to be. I think that's what we worried it was, man. Even if she would have lost her life, though that wouldn't have been what we wanted. We knew that we were fortunate and blessed to have had time with her. And that's how we shifted our perspective. And it really was just being grateful to everything that happened. And so many people can't even have kids. And we know a lot of families that are in that situation right now. And so the fact that we had her was a miracle in itself. And so we knew that whatever the miracle was, we knew the miracle maker. And so if the miracle was, saving her life, then we would take that miracle. If the miracle was she would get to keep her eye, then we would be comfortable with that miracle. And if the miracle was just being able to have her, that was the miracle. And so that's how we shifted our mentality, that the miracle wasn't, you know, because we didn't want our baby to lose her eye. That was, you know, very tough for us to think about, you know, having a child who's going to lose an eye. But we knew the miracle maker, and whatever was going to take place in this situation was going to be nothing short of a miracle. And so, and that's what we found out. And fortunately, she's been able to be 100% recovered, and we get to enjoy a lot more memories. Or get to make a lot of new memories with her. She is a bundle of joy. But her name is Carly Faith, and she challenged our faith. And that's what I think what happened in that season was our faith went to a different level, because I think our faith was limited to what God could do at the time. But then when you don't know what's going to take place, you definitely have to go to another level. And that's what I would just encourage everybody. In light of our daughter and in light of her name, is just lean in on your faith and you'll make it through the season.
DeMario Davis, New Orleans Saints linebacker. Great to have you on this morning, and very happy that your daughter is going to be okay. That is great news. Thanks for joining us.
Also, Dee, I appreciate you coming on here and preaching faith, man. I think a lot of times, you know, we get into all these sports debates and we don't understand how difficult life truly is. And at the end of the day, if you don't have faith, you don't have anything. So I appreciate you sharing your story, man. Thank you.
If you are able, go ahead, DeMario.
No, I thank you guys for having me on. And you're right. Faith is such a critical point, because a lot of us, you know, have our faith in different things, but your faith is going to get tested in life, regardless. And what are you going to be standing on? You want to make sure that you stand on something solid. I mean, you go into the hospital and you hear, you know, your daughter has cancer. That's going to shake you to your core, you know. And no matter what you have your security in, no matter what you have your faith in, you're going to anchor somewhere. And if you don't have your anchor in the right things, man, it's going to take you on a path that be very reckless. And so I think that's what happened with us. We just dropped our anchor and we found out that the faith that we had was very solid and we were able to lean on that. And I think a lot of times in situations when you don't have your faith in the right thing, you drop your anchor and nothing is there and it's hollow. You try to drop your faith and your anchor on your money and your money can't solve it. You try to drop your anchor on people and the people can't solve it. And when you get to that point, you realize, man, you better have something in place that's strong and sturdy. And a lot of times you can't see God. It's just like the air, but you know he's there. And I think that's what it's like when you're able to drop your anchor and lean on something solid, because, man, he renewed us in ways that we would have never imagined. in that tough time. And so I just would encourage people to think along those lines.
Thanks, Demario. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, guys.
If you're able, please join us today in supporting the V Foundation for Cancer Research. 100% of your donation goes to cancer research. Go to v.org/donate now. More Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max next.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Enjoy the conversation at 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. And we are brought to you by Progressive. So, Jay, Sean Payton, just talking to Demario, who's a linebacker on the New Orleans Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Payton believes he'll be an NFL coach again. Figured that out, huh, Sherlock? But no way to predict which team he would lead. Right, here's a quote from Coach. Ultimately, do I think I'll get back in? Sure, Payton said. There's no way to predict who that club might be. Usually there are about 6 openings every year. If there's a right fit somewhere, that ultimately will depend on several factors. So there are 3 teams that have come up in conversation. He told this to USA Today, by the way, Sean Payton. So Jay, there are 3 teams that come up in conversation. Let's start with the Miami Dolphins because they just hired Mike McDaniel. Unless he's a total disaster, hard to imagine the very next year they move on.
Yes.
Although if they're going to get rid of, if Tua doesn't pan out, and I think Tua's a little underrated, actually. I like his development so far. Then maybe they would make wholesale changes. Who knows? Then the 2 that I focus on are the Dallas Cowboys, where he was, you know, everyone immediately Cowboys, because that sells, frankly, in the national media. And it also makes some sense, because if McCarthy falls flat, they're not going to blame Dak, obviously, not yet. Just paid him, and you know he's good. You don't know if he's great, you know he's good. And the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, here's the question. Which is the better fit? Key and I discussed this the other day. Jay, where do you think, if you were McCarthy, you were Sean Payton, if you were McCarthy, just want to hold your job. If you were Sean Payton, where would you want to go?
Well, I don't discount Stephen Ross and the Miami Dolphins, mm-hmm. first and foremost, even though Mike McDaniel's in his first year. Just understanding what that situation was like. And
you and Stephen Ross belong to the same yacht club or something?
You're going to stop framing me as that dude. But those kind of quote-unquote conversations that were being held with Tom Brady, those rumors that were circulating with Sean Payton, Tom Brady, Stephen Ross about creating something down in Miami, depending upon what happens with Tom Brady after this year, I still think that's a major factor. They all have a relationship. I'm curious where that goes. But if you're asking me if it were between the Chargers and the Dallas Cowboys, I get the upside of the Chargers. I understand that they are with a talent, with a guy like Justin Herbert, who has a chance to be an incredible quarterback with a guy like Brandon Staley that's more analytics-driven. If it doesn't work out in year number 2, what that can look like. But, I mean, the Cowboys opportunity, if Sean Payton, like, I run towards that because I have the buy-in from Jerry Jones. I know the longevity, and I know that the history of the great coaches that they've had, they haven't had too many big-time head coaches.
And there's been a history of their head coaches staying there with the franchise for long periods of time. The culture that, to revive that culture with Jerry Jones, understanding that I still think Dak Prescott, regardless of whether people want to say he's overhyped, they have him 10 to 15.
He's a good quarterback.
He's a legit good quarterback. There are pieces and the foundation there. And if I'm Sean Payton, I'm not worried about running away from expectations. I run towards them. I'm Sean damn Payton. I know what time it is. And having the resources of Jerry Jones, I run towards the Dallas Cowboys.
I hear that. Those are good arguments. I'll tell you why I would take the Chargers. Well, first of all, you could even add, coach of the Dallas Cowboys, head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, is one of the premier glamour spots in sports around the world, right? In this country, it's hard to think of some coaching position more important. Or at least bigger, that's going to get covered more and everything, prestigious. Number one, this is not knocking Dallas. But if you're a rich dude, which obviously Sean Payton is and will be when he signs his next deal, I'll take L.A. over Dallas. I don't think that's controversial, okay? It's no knock against Dallas. Also, there's warm weather.
He already has a crib in Dallas, though, by the way, Sean Payton. So,
yeah, okay. But Key will tell you he's got family in L.A., in Southern California. Southern California is tough to beat. Then you have Justin Herbert, and he's young.
Oh, how's that tax rate?
No question.
Go ahead.
But you have Justin Herbert, and he's young.
Okay.
And I think the number one thing that informs decisions for head coaches is who's the quarterback going to be. Dak is good. Justin Herbert has already been better than I think Dak will ever be. And he's going into his third year, Justin Herbert. That means a lot. And then when you look at the talent of the roster up and down, they have the best roster, at least at the moment, I think, the Chargers, arguably in the league. If Staley doesn't take them to the playoffs, and they might miss the playoffs, by the way, because of the division, there will be a coaching change, and I think they'll back up the truck for Sean Payton. Which is the better job, Cowboys or Chargers? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Lane Kiffin news coming up.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.